and I did six of them, to my knowledge, that this year. Killed six big cows.
What was the matter? Did you find out?
Water is what hurt me worse than anything else. Where the area they were in is low, and when it's wet like that, cattle walking over that grass, just like that green grass that I'm in, it sours it, and then they mash it in the mud. They just push it down in that mud, mire it down. And I lost some mighty nice cows. But
well, the grass sours?
Well, yeah, and the water was standing over it. They couldn't eat the water. The grass was like that. The water was to the top of it.
They couldn't eat it.
Couldn't eat it. And then it didn't have much strength in it either, the food value. But dry like it is now, what they eat now has got some strength to it.
Yeah, it's pretty now. Grass off pretty, I think.
I hadn't realized that water would hurt a rancher just as much.
It stayed over 3 months.
It rained.
Sure, I know y'all got it here.
There's still, you should see some of the ranches that they have over by Live Oak. Are half lagoon now. I mean, you see the cattle are around the edge of what used to be a pasture. Is just like a little lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing the water that we've had, and the river got really high. So that's well. Is there any particular disease that cows get now that you're really afraid of still?
Not too much. The worst thing that we have to contend with right now, not right in our section. St. John's County, but Flagler County below us and right on down to Okeechobee. I guess this is your governor and my governor and everybody else's governor, Governor Graham. We have to test them for brucellosis every year. And then if they find one, you have to retest him in 30 days' time until you get the herd cleared out. But it's still a good thing because some of the states... Last year, I think Oklahoma was one, and there was another western state, said that they would not buy no calves out of Florida on account of brucellosis. And they put an embargo on us, but at the same time, it's a good thing. Yeah, she came over here.
Well, what about potatoes? Are they a particular disease that they get around here really
not any more than we used to have. The blight is the main problem we have with them.
Potato blight?
Yes. If you don't keep them sprayed, they'll get and just like a fire hit them if you don't spray every week. But that's our main problem.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the water was our main problem this year.
Do you think that potato farming's changed over the years much? I mean...
Yeah, I would say. We're more... Years ago when we started out, it was all fresh market. In other words, we went to the supermarket. And now half, two-thirds of it out there goes to Chip. Wise, Frito-Lay, Tom's. And we got, I think that's the three main buyers we have in that area. Goes to Chip.
So you're raising a different potato.
Different variety, yeah. For the Chip. And the ones I brought today is strictly a chip potato.
Chip potato.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't have them on fresh market. You couldn't sell them on fresh market.
Uh-huh.
And they would just keep.
Atlantic?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But they fry out more per 100 weight than any other potatoes we've got in the area. That's why they want them. In other words, they get more money for them, and we're getting the same thing. They go in their pocket, but not ours.
Mm.
That's the thing.
This is the chip factories?
Right.
Yeah.
So they get 10, I think it's 10 more pounds out of 100 weight. They'll fry out more than the other potato.
Huh.
It has more starch or something in it.
Oh, I see.
And they're pretty. They fry out just as pretty and white as you want to see. A pretty chip.
Huh.
But they just fry out more damn chips.
But they don't, they're not so good as fresh.
Not as, like your Idaho bakers, you know, you buy in the store.
Right.
They're dry potato.
Right.
But you can eat them, but they're dry. It takes a pound of butter. Eat one potato, you know. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. Well, what about when you were growing up, I was just curious, did you ever think that you would leave the farm, or did you always know that you wanted to?
Yeah.
I've never had no anxiety to leave the country.
That's great. And so you... Born and raised, you're pretty much on the same land that you were born and raised on? Or?
I live where I was born and raised, in that same house that you came in.
Really? That's great.
I was born and raised in that. Back in those days, I guess Willis, probably too, I don't know whether, but back in those days, our mothers, couldn't afford to go to hospitals, and they had an old family doctor down in Hastings that used to come around and deliver the babies, and I was delivered right in the house that I live in. Well, now I'm just as happy as if I had good sense.
That's marvelous.
It's just an old home, but I love it dearly. I wouldn't take a million for it. There was a lady came to my house our house, my wife and I. And I didn't know that she was in the real estate business. Drove in the yard there one afternoon late, and I happened to be out there. And she looked around, the pecan trees, everything was about this time of year, I guess. Everything was in full bloom good. And I had a cow, a milk cow at the time, right behind the barn, and she was just about to come fresh. She had a big sack of milk like that. She says, "Mister, is that cow for sale?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. I don't have anything that I wouldn't sell." She looked at me and she says, how much you want for that cow?" I said, "Lady, do you want to milk that cow?" She says, "Yeah, I'm going to buy for a milk cow." I said, "Well, I wouldn't sell it to you as a milk cow because you can't milk her." I knew she couldn't milk her. She was just the meanest cow I ever saw. I had her for raising calves. You could put, she'd raise a couple of three calves, but you just could not milk her. She would kick. My goodness me, she was kicked. Anyhow, she talked a little bit more. She said, "Well, what about this place?" I said, "No, ma'am, this place not for that." She said, "You wouldn't sell this place?" I said, "There ain't enough money in the world to buy this place." She laughed. She said, "In the world?" I said, "No, ma'am, enough money in the world to buy this place."
Right here.
Missed it, didn't we? 2:00.
Oh no, we're talking right now. Talking about
right now.
Yeah, come sit down, join us. In fact, it's very loose.
See my granddaughter's kissing cousins. We're all over the place.
Oh really?
You want us to sit down and talk now?
Come sit down.
He's a master. Stop going around asking everybody their name if they have it on them, and I see it.
Oh, who's a master's now?
My granddaughter.
Oh really? Oh, well, we've got, let's see, Barry Masters is right there.
My granddaughter's godfather's a Barry Masters, but it's not that Barry Masters.
Oh.
It's down with the
Elks. Oh, okay. And Wilford Masters is our fishnet maker.
Yeah.
And, I found out from this area, everybody's related to everybody. These two are first cousins.
I just said, I spoke to Mr. Trader. What's the woman that's 100 years old? She's just 100.
Miss Mina?
Miss Mina. I was up to see her with Katie. I took her picture with her. Uh-huh. Then I knew that she was real. I said, "You've got to be careful down here. If you're marrying your first cousin or something."
That's right. I know. Well, it's been real fun working in the area because even though the names may be different, everybody's related to everybody or at least knows them and has grown up with them. And we're just talking about how both of these men, born and raised pretty much right on the same land.
Teresa over there is our first cousin, too.
Teresa's another first cousin. The lady who's doing the Spanish drawn work.
You know.
Face. I was looking at her and talking to her,
Oh, I know.
I saw she was a Solana, so I knew that was a
brother. This is her father, Mr. Solana.
Back in the day is the reason why we all cousins and so on, so they tell me. That's been back. The people didn't have any way of traveling. Like, we lived, originated out in the countryside, and they traveled horseback and in horse and carts or wagons and oxen carts, and, I think from my father's side, there was about 10 or 12 and his family. And from my mother's side, there was 8 or 10. And the girls married the brothers and the brothers married. And I just have got so many kinfolks in that area.
All I know is what Carl Masters gave to Gail. He gave him this big book he had for his daughter. So I've been trying to read that, but honestly, they got some of the church records and all in there, from babies born and who knows who.
Yeah.
But still, it's hard.
Did you see the book, The Menorcans in Florida, that they're selling right under?
I think I might have, but I bought everything. There is a Menorcan cookie. I bought it. But I'll look and see if it's a different one.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because there's
the cattle ranch.
What is?
Where is your cattle?
Where?
Swinton Jones County.
Elkton.
Elkton.
Can we ride over one day?
Be happy for you to.
Yeah, I'd like to bring Katie over.
Be happy for you to.
He's got all of his equipment here.
We,
if I could
They're just beginning to look a little better now. I had a rough winter with them. They got awful thin, and I lost some too, but they're coming out now. They're going to look good in another 30 days anyway.
I was just reading about the cattle this week, about how they brought some of them over from Spain, and actually was
right. I've traced back my records according, I think it's the sixth generation I am, but my the ones that came over here, the Tree Eye, I think they had three cows at that time. Didn't you read about
mm-hmm.
that?
Three cows
the Tree Eyes had. And from there, they built on up and became into ranches.
That's doing a pretty good job.
That's been a long time ago. That was in the 1600s.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, it's something like that when they first came over.
And your name's?
My name is Peggy Bulger, and I'm with the Folklife program here. And I was—I'm not Menorcan. I was just the one.
I'm a Peggy too.
Oh, are you? I'm Irish myself, but but I was one that started, you know, doing the research.
I'm French.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just.
You're Irish, right?
Yeah. Well, I enjoy being Irish.
But I'm proud.
That people don't know. When we started doing this Menorcan area and doing the research, we had people say, well, you know, what is I'd explain. They say, oh, they've been here for so long? And I'd say, well, yes, they're the first big migration that we had into the state. So it was really amazing that we were.
Not only that, but most of you all have the Spanish, too, which goes back to 1500.
Right. So anyway.
Well, I think there's very few Menorcans that don't have the Spanish heritage, too.
I know.
Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
That's right.
So people say that they're the first ones in like 1700 or whatever, but actually it's wrong because they were here long before that.
Right.
They had a Spanish, Solana reunion last year.
Uh-huh.
At Favorite Dykes Park. You know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
Where was it?
And Favorite Dykes Park. You've heard of it, off US 1?
Do you know where that is?
It's past DuPont Center. You know where DuPont Center
is? It's down near Palisade Creek.
Before you get to Palisade Creek, you turn off and go in. It's a pretty place. Man. But they had documents. It amazed me. There's people back there from 1500.
Oh, my goodness.
I seen it.
Yeah.
I read it. They had tables of that stuff. the old documents.
Yeah, well, that's what Carl gave me for the baby. Documents that went back to the 1500s.
That's right.
Working in the Spanish,
yeah.
The church records, the whole blue and
red.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And a lot of people they weren't interested, don't care, but I don't think all those people are.
I didn't think we went back that
well,
far.
It's it's been fascinating for us doing the research because there's just a lot to it, and, you know, with the different skills and the different foods, you know, will you be here all weekend?
No, unfortunately, we got here late today, 2 o'clock, and I was going to bring the baby because I wanted to know everything she can know about everything
at
Ourself. Well,
but
I'm glad I didn't bring her. She's not old enough to know.
Yeah, but you know, when you go over to St. Augustine, it'll be wonderful because you really should take her over to Mr. Tree Eye.
Well,
I'm going to bring my twins over,
from,
you know.
From St. Augustine?
Are you from St. Augustine?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, give me a call in the next week or so, and I'll try and arrange it where I can meet you.
Get your phone number.
Yeah, right.
Give me a call and let me know when you're coming, and I'll arrange.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't know if you all know Orman Loomis, and this is Doris Dyan.
Right, Willis.
They're on our staff. Here.
You write that down.
Okay.
That'd be 692.
692.
1040.
And that's Mr. Albert Tree Eye.
Mm-hmm. Just leave off to Mr. Albert Tree Eye.
Okay.
Which Mr. Solano are you?
Willis.
They mm-hmm. call you Willis?
Yeah.
No nicknames.
This
isn't my pen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Usually I latch on them.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate that.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you give me a call, Come some afternoon and I'll show you the calf.
Oh, I'd love to. We took a ride down to near Silver Springs, or Salt Springs down there.
That's pretty all that.
This is handmade. No, I didn't make it.
Yeah, we're just kind of sitting here talking.
But this is all.
Yeah.
Come see it.
Be here at 10 o'clock to start demonstrating at 10.
I've never heard of it.
Go home and get a shower and freshen up, and it starts at 7 tonight, and there's chairs down there. It's all night tonight, too. The program down at the main stage, musical performances all night. So it goes 7 to 11, and it's very good music, so please come back. Bring something warm, though. It does get chilly at night out here. I know. It's been so hot, but it does. You know, it cools right off after the sun goes down, and it's really a good performance. Right. Do you know how to get there?
What's that?
Lead us out.
Oh, good. Yes, I know. Everybody's staying at the Sleepy Swine. So.
No, if you get a handle that's too light for the wheel, you whip. Drilled a hole in this end and filled it with lead and make it. I've seen them do that, but not put no metal not
in the whip.
I've never heard of that.
Who made that? Are you doing?
Mr. Depot.
Is he from around here?
He's over Union County.
Maybe that's something new.
Might be.
It looked like to me it would ruin your whip. It worked its way on out to tear it out. Looked like to me.
But he also
anything got flexible inside, hard like that's gonna eventually, you know.
Well, he also makes a different kind of whip that has the continuous handle instead of the
yeah.
Ball.
I seen them.
Instead of those, he puts a cable in, and that does heat out from the inside of the deer hide.
Maybe he's using it as a filler where you won't have to put so much beehive.
Might be doing that. I talked with a rope maker and whip maker out in Oregon, and he said that for Bozal, a lot of times he does it on a steel cable because it actually makes it, when it's rawhide that they work out there, it makes it a little bit more flexible. And you wouldn't believe it, but the rawhide is stiffer and harder on the horse's nose than a Bozal with. The people around in St. John's County use Bozal to train
their
horses.
All we use them for is driving cattle.
But you know what I mean by Bozal?
Yeah, I know. On a horse's nose.
You don't
pick the
shakes
of barley.
The old Spanish style. Of course, their Spanish style out west comes up through Mexico. It's a different Spanish style.
You know.
What do you call that on the end of your rope? You have an
the Sia?
Supposed to be a Honda.
That's to keep from cut. That's a piece of leather that's been plaited there to keep from cutting that out. If it saws across there many times, it'll just cut that right out. And a big strong cow will cut it out. This here, that's a lariat with a Honda in it. There.
Okay.
The Honda, they generally build them in with it. It's a brass thing that goes. That one just has a regular.
Now what do you call that little piece of leather? Do you have a name for it?
Not
I guess
really.
That's part of the Honda, we call.
I've heard that referred to as wear leather.
You know whose rope this was? After poor little Mike got killed, Gary brought me this. This was his rope. And Gary brought it and gave it to me. And I have treasured it. And I've never used it. I did use it.
Is it nylon?
It's, I don't believe it's nylon. I believe that's, what is it, polyester? It's on the tape of a nylon. But I'll tell you what, there ain't no Brahma bull or break.
You can't break it.
Man, that's a strong little rope. That was Little Mike's Larry, and after he got killed, great Keaton Gary. Gary brought me a picture of him and brought me this rope. Asked me what I wanted. I said, I sure would.
It could be nylon, too, because it got it burnt on the end, keeping it from unraveling.
It's strong, I can tell you that.
That nylon's strong anyway.
I hope we'll get it.
Do you sometimes use the brass hobbies?
I always had them in mind. Of course, I don't hardly ever use them. But it comes with a rope. If you buy one already made, it's got the Honda's already plaited around the shell. In it, goes back in. So, you know, like a Navy man can sew that weave into it, and it wouldn't come out. You could break it, it wouldn't come out.
Does it come that way from the factory?
Oh, yeah. They make them that way. Yeah. You buy a rope already made, it comes that way.
What happens when it wears out?
You then get another one.
Another rope?
Yeah, get another.
Have you ever seen one made with rawhide?
Never. They used to use for this nylon came out, they use old manila. And if you got a strong, I've seen bulls break a brand new one. Cost it like nothing. But you tie it, I don't care how big a brown bull is, you get it with a nylon, he'll be there till he dies. He can't break it. I'm telling you, that's a strong thing. Well, what happens, he stretches so when he goes to the end, he's got that much pull, like a swing chart.
Even a rope that?
Even that nail stretch.
Yeah, it'll stretch.
Sure will. They pull those trucks on the beach over there in St. Augustine, they got those nylon pull ropes. They're that big around.
Yeah.
Call them snatch ropes. They're about long here that building.
Uh-huh.
They're hooking on the car and back right side of it. They'll take off and it scares the fool out of the person standing in the car because it's not going to pull it back.
Yeah.
But when it gets to the end of it, there's so much slingshot there, he can slam on the brakes and snatch him right up and down both.
Huh.
You don't even have to pull it. That, the weight of his car, and he gets to the end of it, it'll snatch him just like a slingshot.
Huh.
They're also dangerous. If that thing comes loose from that car back there, it'll go right through your windshield. It's just like I seen a guy cut both fingers off of the pickup with it. He smashed the pickup. It had a chain on the end of it, and it come loose from back there. And the tailgate, you could see every link where it hit the tailgate right down the damn back. And his finger happened to be over. He cut them fingers, just smashed them flat. And the rope hit him across the chest right there and just burned him. He scared me. I'm scared of those things. But they still use them over there. Every pickup you see, the four-wheel drive on that beach, they got their snatch rope. There's always somebody driving out there getting stuck. They don't understand. They'll drive out there with a high tide and get in that soft sand, and right there they'll stay. If somebody don't get them out, the tide, if it comes up on them, it'll ruin your car. That old salt water is terrible.
Boy, that's a good cool breeze now.
It's nice now.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Well, man, if I ain't ready to leave.
I guess we're ready to leave. I don't know when.
Tomorrow.
That girl.
I got in my office a rawhide Honda. It's a roller instead of a radio. It ain't both kinds.
Uh-huh.
And I'll try to make sure. Okay. It's a replacement that's built on.
I guess she'll come and get her feet.
Yeah, I can set it off.